All right, Lakers and the San Antonio Spurs facing off tomorrow. Lakers 2-2 on the season. DeMar DeRozan tomorrow. Little LaMarcus Aldridge. The Spurs just not the same team as they once were. Didn't make the playoffs last year. What was that, the first time in Popovich's career? What did he go, 21, 22 years making the playoffs in a row? An absolutely ridiculous stat. But they did not make it last year. And we'll see what happens with the Spurs. I mean, to be honest with you, just kind of taking a look at the standings here. Spurs are sitting at – where's San Antonio? Where's San Antonio? The San Antonio Spurs are sitting at 2-1. So they lost their last game to New Orleans. They won their first two games. I know they beat Memphis and Toronto. So that's where the San Antonio Spurs sit. We got a top NBA story. So let's go around the league a little bit. I do want to just highlight a few different things going on around the NBA. We're about a week in to this new NBA season, and it's not just about the Los Angeles Lakers. We got other teams that are, you know, obviously a part of the mix here. But one of the things that I want to spend a little bit of time on real quick is, unfortunately, some of these injuries around the NBA. So if you guys heard Spencer Dinwiddie is going to be out for a little bit of time here, it looks like, for he's a partial ACL tear. So unfortunately, some injuries right now around the NBA. You know, I don't know if frustrating is the right word, but I'm sure there's a lot of teams out there that think they got a shot to win an NBA championship or just to make the playoffs. Spencer Dinwiddie is going to miss some time. We don't know how long, but that's obviously an important piece for the Brooklyn Nets. Then we saw Ja Morant set for an MRI after spraining his ankle, but it doesn't look like he's going to be back anytime soon. He was carted off in a wheelchair, so the MRI on his ankle, x-ray shows no fracture, so hopefully you know, he'll be okay. Maybe just misses a small portion of time, and that's kind of significant for the Lakers because if you look at the Lakers' schedule, as much as I'm promoting the Lakers and the Spurs coming up these next couple of days, they got the Spurs tomorrow and then the Spurs again on Friday. After that, you got Memphis on Sunday, January 3rd, and Tuesday, January 5th. So I would be surprised if Ja Morant is playing in those games just based on that injury that he had yesterday. So Ja Morant, you know, one of the more exciting players in the NBA, won Rookie of the Year last year. First two games, how about this? How about this start for Ja Morant? He was averaging 36 points and 8 assists in the first two games. I know it's only two games, but that's still pretty damn impressive. So hopefully Ja Morant comes back. I saw earlier today as well. Looks like Kevin Love's going to be out 3 to 4 weeks. So you got some players missing time, unfortunately, but that's part of the NBA. Some good news, you could say, from an injury perspective. The Dallas Mavericks, Kristaps Porzingis, was a full participant in practice on Tuesday for the first time since undergoing a surgery back in October. He had a lateral meniscus injury in his right knee. So there's no timetable for Porzingis, but they're thinking at some point in January he comes back to the Dallas Mavericks. So some injury updates right there around the NBA. Okay, I want to spend some time looking at the NBA standings and some of these elite teams, just kind of give my quick assessment so far in the Western Conference and the Eastern Conference. We're doing our top NBA stories right now. Thank you for being a part of the show. Condensed version of the show tonight, by the way. We had these bowl games that are going on today, so it's not a full two-hour show tonight, but we're, you know, obviously still getting in as much Lakers content as we can here as the Lakers get ready to play the Spurs tomorrow. Okay, so just my quick thoughts here on the Western Conference. Not really too many surprises. I think it's tough to assess too much this early. You know, for example, Denver got off to a 0-2 start, and Michael and I are talking about in the pregame show yesterday, and you know, there's certain teams out there that you expect to just kind of come out the gate and play good basketball. Golden State was getting blown out in their first couple games. Granted that they played, who they played? Brooklyn, I think, in the opener, and then they had another tough game, I think, against Milwaukee. So I guess, you know, you're playing some of the best competition in the NBA, and you're trying to do it without Draymond Green, and we know Klay Thompson is out. But I don't think too many surprises in the Western Conference for me. you know, I think the biggest story so far is the Jazz are going to be extremely competitive. The Portland Trailblazers, who we saw against the Lakers yesterday, are going to be extremely competitive. Denver's going to eventually kind of pick itself back up. Phoenix is going to be a solid playoff team this year with Chris Paul and Devin Booker. None of those are surprises to me. I think we all, you know, are assuming that. I do think there are going to be a couple playoff spots open this year that were not open a season ago. So what I'm referring to there, let me just kind of quickly explain what I mean on that front. Houston, I don't think, is going to make the playoffs. They were in it last year. OKC is not going to make the playoffs. They were in it last year. That opens up a couple spots. Even if Phoenix jumps in and takes one of those spots, and you assume that the Clippers, the Jazz, the Blazers, the Lakers, the Dallas Mavericks, and the Denver Nuggets all get in, it leaves one spot open, at minimum one spot. And then with the way the NBA is going to do the playoffs this year, the 7, 8, 9, and 10 are going to be fighting for the final two spots. I love it, by the way. I think it's going to draw an incredible amount of interest, and I thought it was an incredible success in the Orlando bubble. Not too many surprises in the Western Conference. The biggest surprise was a team in the Western Conference that's supposed to be one of the elite teams in the West, down 50 at the half a couple nights ago, 77-27. And that team was the Clippers. I mean, I know I keep kind of harping on this and bringing it up, but I still cannot fully understand how that's possible in a professional game that a squad is down 77-27. So overall in the Western Conference, maybe you could say one of the surprises is the fact that the Lakers are 2-2. I think that's fair to say. You don't really jump or make too many assessments this early on just how teams are jumping out the gate or maybe losing a couple games. But the Western Conference, no real surprises. In the East, I think one thing is very fair to say: when the Brooklyn Nets are healthy and everybody's playing, that's going to be a fantastic team in the Eastern Conference. Michael Thompson's already saying that he thinks that's going to be the Lakers and the Brooklyn Nets in the NBA Finals, so we'll have to wait and see. I'm sure teams like the Milwaukee Bucks have something to say about it. I'm sure the teams like the Miami Heat have something to say about it. But I'll just say this about the Eastern Conference. There's so much chatter about the West and the balance in the Western Conference. The reality is the Lakers, when I think the dust settles, will be the team to beat in the West, and then the question is going to be everybody else that's fighting for second place. Maybe the Clippers can make an argument against that. Maybe Denver becomes more of that team that they were or becomes a team that they were in the Orlando bubble, where they had such just a fantastic streak. We'll kind of have to wait and see what happens there. But I do think people are sleeping on the Eastern Conference. I really do. I think the Philadelphia 76ers will be an incredibly tough out in the postseason. I think a team like the Brooklyn Nets, I already talked about that combination of Kevin Durant and the combination of Kyrie Irving, to go with a lot of other good players. Caris LeVert's a nice player. Spencer Dinwiddie, you know, hopefully comes back at some point later in the season. He could be a big piece for them. And they got just a bunch of other guys that know how to play their role. And I think they've really rounded up a very nice roster, and we'll see, obviously, how Steve Nash does as a head coach. Miami's going to be good. Boston's going to be good. The Milwaukee Bucks are better than they were a year ago, in my opinion, with Drew Holiday, Chris Middleton, and Giannis Antetokounmpo being the three best players on that team. So the Eastern Conference does not get the amount of love that the West does, but I will tell you that any of those teams in the Eastern Conference can hang with any of these other teams in the Western Conference, maybe not to the level that the Lakers are at, but certainly, you know, with where the Jazz, Portland, Clippers, Denver, all these other teams that are in the mix after the Lakers, I certainly think that they can hang with any of those squads as well. All right, those are our top NBA stories. And as always, we appreciate kind of going around the league and seeing what else is going on in the NBA. When we come back, Let's look at the Lakers' upcoming schedule. Lakers should be doing some damage over the next six games. I'll tell you what I mean about that. Plus, Kyle Kuzma, I want to spend a little time on because I think these last two games is a perfect example of how Kyle Kuzma can get you really excited in one game and then maybe bring you back to reality in another. All that coming up next. Thank you for tuning in. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/network.
Lakers taking on the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow, 4 p.m. pregame show. 5:30 tip-off with John Ireland and Michael Thompson, so looking forward to getting that game underway. Lakers trying to come off a loss here to the Portland Trail Blazers. Did not play well yesterday. Just didn't play enough defense. Gary Trent Jr., 28 points. He outscores the Lakers bench on his own, and that's obviously the difference of the game there. They got a chance against the San Antonio Spurs coming up. So real quick on this, the Lakers' upcoming schedule, so they got a great opportunity – to really, really do some damage over these next six games. So they're 2-2 right now. No reason why the Lakers can't go 5-1 in these next six games. Let me just kind of explain what we got here. All right. So tomorrow against the San Antonio Spurs, Friday against the San Antonio Spurs. Yes, two road games, but no reason why the Lakers can't grab, let's say they split those two games. After that, you're going to play Memphis on January 3rd and January 5th. I'm assuming there's no Ja Morant there. And if there's no Ja Morant, a player of that caliber, you should be sweeping the Memphis Grizzlies, even though those games are on the road. And then you come back to Staples Center, January 7th and January 8th, you got the Spurs and the Chicago Bulls. So three of your next six games are against the San Antonio Spurs. It's almost like it's a playoff series here. But three of your next six games are against the San Antonio Spurs. So the Lakers should most certainly do some damage. And this is going to be, you know, part of the advantage that the Lakers have is the schedule is advantageous here to start off the year. So hopefully the Lakers can take advantage of that. Currently sitting at 2-2. As we come to a close to tonight's show, a little shorter version of a Lakers talk here. As we come to a close, I want to spend some quick time here on Anthony Davis and Kyle Kuzma, and then we'll call it a night. Then we'll let everybody go about their business. Okay, real quick on the Anthony Davis front, I mentioned this, AD didn't look like the Anthony Davis that we're accustomed to, not aggressive enough last night. I don't know if maybe that calf strain is still bothering him, and no need to make excuses for Anthony Davis. You know, he's one of the best players in the NBA, and obviously for the Lake Show, he is so key and so important. So, this is what happened last season. Anytime Anthony Davis had a bad night, what happened last season was AD would have a bad game, or let's say was not aggressive enough. Next game, he was a beast. So does that happen against the Spurs tomorrow? Maybe it does, maybe it doesn't, but I'll take my chances that the Anthony Davis that we saw last night will not be the Anthony Davis that we see tomorrow. That's what I'm used to seeing last season. You know, there'd be times I do a post game show and I'd be like, you know, AD wasn't aggressive enough and he's got to be more aggressive. And then the next game he'd shut everybody up, including myself. And he'd come out and, put up 20 points in the first half, take 14 shots in the first half, get to the free throw line eight times, have a couple blocks. So I expect AD to be the Anthony Davis that we're accustomed to tomorrow. And you know, he could certainly take it from there. Got to see more from AD if he's healthy. By the way, if he's not, sit him out. Let him get right. Give him a week. Give him 2 weeks. Let the guy get 100%. And I'm not basing this off anything. I'm just, you know, he missed a game with a calf strain, and then he came out yesterday. And because he wasn't aggressive, you just kind of make stories in your own head and say, okay, well, maybe it's because of the calf strain. If it has nothing to do with that, no problem. But if he's not 100%, okay, let the man Let him sit. Let him get right. Let these other guys have to step up and pick up for the slack. Guys like Montrezl Harrell and Marc Gasol and Markieff Morris and Kyle Kuzma. You know, there's another perfect example, a guy like Kuz that can step in and do some damage. Let me stay on Kuz for a quick second. So speaking of Kuzma, the last two games are a perfect example of Kyle Kuzma in a nutshell, all right? So let me kind of explain here. He came out against the Timberwolves as a starter. AD was out, and he shined. 8 of 12 from the field, made the right plays, made the right decisions, active on both sides of the ball, made the extra pass, really had such a hot hand going in the first half. And I love what he said in the postgame show. He said second half he didn't shoot as much because the shots weren't there, so he wanted to make the right decisions. And Laker fans get excited because Kyle Kuzma had come out and you know, obviously played the style of basketball that you're hoping to see on a consistent basis from Kuz. Next game, which was yesterday, fires off 8 threes, goes 2-9 from the field, no rebounds, no assists. That's the part that frustrates me, you know, with Kuzma, and I think that's the same with other Laker fans out there. All you want from Kuz is to be consistent. By the way, I don't even care. You go 2-9 from the field, and you don't have a good shooting night, that's okay. That happens. How are you effective when you're not scoring the basketball? And that's always the question with Kuzma. And you want to see more games where he goes 2-9 from the field. And okay, he takes 8 threes and only hits 2 of them. But he grabs 6 rebounds. He has 4 assists. He has 2 block shots. He finds other ways, you know, obviously to affect the game. And I obviously didn't see that last night for the Lakers. And that's one of the things that, you know, we always watch with Kuz. If the shot's not falling, are you finding other ways to be effective? That's going to be an important part of his progression this upcoming season. He was on Lakers Talk about a week ago, I think, a week and a half ago, the day after he signed that $3 or $40 million deal with the Lakers. He said defense is a priority for him, finding other ways to impact the game. So we'll see if he can certainly do that in these next upcoming games. And one other thing that I'll pay attention to, people try to make this, you know, Kyle Kuzma's not in, or when LeBron or Anthony Davis are out and Kyle Kuzma's in, Kuzma can shine. Stop making that argument. Nobody cares if Kuzma is impactful when one of those players are out. The real test is how Kuzma can be impactful when those two players are in. And I don't even mean they're all in the game at the same time, as in they're all in the lineup. That's when it's going to matter most, because if you're going to win another championship, you're going to go back-to-back. You need big minutes from LeBron and Anthony Davis, and Kuz's got to find a way to fit in and be consistent. So Kuz, the last two games, that's kind of a that's a perfect snapshot of how Kuzma is over the course of time so far in his career, and we'll see if he could be more consistent. All right, that's all we got for tonight's show. I greatly appreciate everybody for being a part of the show. Lakers taking on the San Antonio Spurs tomorrow. Don't forget, 4 p.m. is the pregame show. 5:30 is tip-off. Thank you all for taking some time and joining the show. Do not forget, if you miss any part of the show, download the Lakers Talk podcast. Just type in Lakers Talk with Alan Sliwa. All the shows are there, plus all the postgame shows. Thank you for being a part of it. I'm Alan Sliwa. This is Lakers Talk on 710 ESPN.